Hi, I'm Alois Bungira, and you're listening to this FM Sport Podcast.
Nice, Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
It's a very good evening, Zimbabwe. It is ZFM Sport on a Friday. Fire Friday! Are you getting ready to go to a big concert tonight? We understand Rick Ross, the boss, is in the area. Well, this is the way to build
Maybach
up to...
Maybach music.
Wonderful, Mikey. Maybach music, indeed. We won't play Maybach music on the show tonight because you can hear that at the concert. But this is the way to warm up before that concert. We are live on our ZFM Sport Facebook page. So you can catch us on there as well. You can see us, so you can interact with us on 0731 168 045. So there's so many ways and platforms in which you can participate on today's show. And the team is here: Mike Madoda, Alois Bungira, our producer Sean Tafirenyika. My name is Barry Menandi. On the show today, on the home front, newly crowned champions FC Platinum dominate the 2022 Soccer Stars of the Year lineup following the conclusion of the voting process this afternoon. In international sports news, is a blockbuster matchup in the Autumn Nations series between England and the mighty New Zealand. And England head coach Eddie Jones believes the All Blacks are there for the taking and that they do not have an aura. That, of course, is rugby news, and that's front and center in our international sports news. We also have and will take you around the world in 60, and we have updates from the United Arab Emirates, Italy, and Australia.
The second half of the show is the beautiful game, and there are less than 48 hours until the greatest show on earth kicks off, and 32 of the world's best football teams will vie to lift the game's most coveted trophy on the 18th of December. But only one captain can raise the World Cup. Who are the favorites? Who are the dark horses? How far will the African teams go? We'll endeavor to answer all those questions in our special World Cup report.
Hi, my name's Ryan Cairns, Sunshine Tour professional golfer, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Right, let's give you a local sports news roundup, starting with golf, where Ryan Cairns was crowned the champion of the Zimbabwe Professional Golfers Association Championship at Royal Harare yesterday. The 38-year-old followed his opening round of 4 under par 68 with a 3 under 69 and a closing round of 4 under 68 to beat Robson Chinoy, who finished in second place. Cairns walked home with a prize packet of $1,485 after his 11 under par total score. In rugby news, Zimbabwe Cheetahs have two injury concerns heading into the Zambezi Challenge, which gets underway at Harare Sports Club tomorrow. According to Cheetahs team manager Tafadzwa Mende, the team is ready for battle despite the injury worries. The Cheetahs are desperate to do well in the second edition of their home tournament after a disappointing campaign during the inaugural event in April. And we'll wrap it up with cricket news, where Zimbabwean superstar all-rounder Sikandar Raza is on the move and ready to bat or ball. After his exploits at the recent T20 World Cup, he's off to play in the Abu Dhabi T20, where he has signed for the Chennai Braves, a team owned by the Chennai Super Kings franchise in the IPL.
From Rufaro to Barberfield, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
Well, with the season over, it's time to crown the best of the best in terms of the playing staff that did duty for the various teams in the top tier of domestic football. Now, newly crowned champions FC Platinum, they dominate the 2022 Soccer Stars of the Year lineup following the conclusion of the voting process, which took place this afternoon. The Rishavane-based side, who won their fourth consecutive Castle Lager Premier Soccer League title, had three of their players being voted into the top 11. Just looking at those Soccer Stars of the Year finalists for the season 2021-2022, they are Brian Musa of Chicken Inn, Delik Murimba of Ngezi Platinum Stars, Eli Ilunga of Black Rhinos, Frank Makarati, defender from Dynamos, Gift Bello of FC Platinum, Nelson Chajka of Ngezi Platinum Stars, Tinotenda Benza makes the list, he's from Herentals, and Wallace Magalani, who was turning out for the champions FC Platinum, Walter Musona, who makes a pretty strong shout for getting the outright player of the season gong, he's of course of FC Platinum, William Manondo, top goal scorer, definitely the Golden Boot winner with 17 goals for Caps United, and then Divine Mindirira, the playmaker from Highlanders, having a stellar season and rewarded with being on that calendar. The list is out, Alois, and it looks like although the pool was fairly slim this year in terms of those players that pulled up trees and blew the lights out, many of the players on here, I'll say about 80%, were predictable.
Yeah, I've got no qualms really on the players, because like you said, that you know what, there were very few players that actually raised their hand up and say that, you know what, I'm dominating, I want to lead by example, I want to play great football. You know, it was more like players that just were in there to play football for their team. You know, match winners were very rare.
Yeah.
In our league, you know, we rarely got to see match winners like Walter Msona. Like you just said, he at the end of the season, towards the end of the season, he actually developed to be a match winner for FC Platinum. Whereas William Manondo, he was scoring goals, yes, but it was in patches as well. But Walter Msona came out guns blazing, match winning performances. We had very few of those. And but the lineup, for me, I don't know if
Can I tell you one match winner was missing?
Yeah.
One player who I actually thought should have been competing for the top gong itself and does not even make the list.
Yeah.
Brian Bunder.
Where is Brian Bunder?
FC Platinum.
I would agree with that.
Doesn't even make the top 11.
I would agree with that.
Phenomenal player. And if we're talking about consistency, operating at a consistently high level with match winning performance. The problem with us is sometimes we equate scoring goals to match winning performance.
Yes.
But if you take a look at the engine room for FC Platinum, once they hit their straps, the guys who are the catalyst to their performances. Before we started talking about Walter Musona, we were talking about Brian Bunder.
Yes.
And we carried on talking about Brian Bunder until he got injured.
Yeah.
Unfortunate to miss the last two or so matches of the season because of that injury. But Brian Bunder, for me, could easily put his hand up as being the best player at FC Platinum. Yeah. And how he then doesn't make this list, for me, is a bit of a surprise. Another one, again, who's missing from this list, again, somewhat surprisingly, because I think we don't value defenders in the same way that we value attackers and midfielders, the entertainers, is Lorenz Mhlanga, who contributed for FC Platinum. And I think the fear may have been, and you know, sometimes those that vote will perhaps vote consciously and subconsciously to not have one team dominate
the
awards.
Yeah.
And so there is a balancing act that they will then try and perform.
Yeah.
But if you take a look at Lorenz Mhlanga, how is he missing from that list?
Yeah, he
phenomenal player. Playing
three or four goals.
Yeah, three or four goals.
And those goals were from set pieces. And then also you look at
just his overall play.
Overall performance. He and Gift Bello, if you have Gift Bello there, I would say, and with respect to Gift Bello, I would say Gift Bello probably had just a rung lower in terms of performance under Lorenz Mhlanga. So I'll completely agree with you that Lorenz Mhlanga, Brian Bunder, big misses there. Is that perhaps the tragedy of having a voting panel perhaps that wasn't able to watch all the games, and also us broadcasting one game per day on a match day? So one game on a Saturday, one game on a Sunday, and those that can't get to the stadia can only watch on TV and can only consume what comes through on the TV screens.
You're definitely right there, Perry. You know, when it comes to the panel in Zimbabwe, it becomes very difficult because some of the panelists are just in Harare. some of the panelists are just in Bulawayo. They only watch one game in 2 weeks in Bulawayo. And some are in Javane, they hardly watch anything else besides FC Platinum, you know. So it becomes very difficult. I think going forward, I don't know how that is going to work, but I think going forward, there is a need for us to actually have our games broadcast. You know, I don't know how difficult it can be to
they're
have
being broadcast to, be
no,
to have wider coverage.
Yes, yeah. Coverage. Even if the games that are not being broadcast, they are supposed to be screens.
Yes.
At some point, we must have a show like Soccer Zone in South Africa where we can actually see highlights of every
game that
per week.
Played,
Then we can actually see the consistency of the players. Even the fans at home can actually have a clear picture of who might be walking in the limelight, who might be on that kind.
I want to add to what Alois is saying, and perhaps ask the question, how many games were broadcast from Wengere Stadium, for example, in Rusape?
And
Wengere hosted quite a number of matches.
I would say none.
Those who performed at that particular venue would have been prejudiced because they didn't have large numbers of the media to witness their performances. The second thing is, though, I do understand the fact that games need to be televised and to be broadcast, but for me, and so for me, I see there's a bit of laziness on the part of members of the media, because there is always the option that you have to consult with your colleagues who are based in the south, who are based in the north, who are based in the east, who are based in the central region, to talk to them, to say, hey guys, you know what, have conversations, and you get to know of players like Mutokozi Zimseve at the Bulawayo Chiefs, who was at the heart of everything good that they were doing this season. He's another miss as well. You've got Jaden Barake for the young players, you know, for Wawa, who was phenomenal. You've got Chintuli.
Yeah.
People have forgotten about Manika Diamonds, but in the first 20 or so games of the season, he was one of the best players in the league.
He was blowing the lights out, and he was absolutely fantastic. I want to ask you, Alois, in your view, what is the biggest surprise on this list?
If you ask me, I think the biggest surprise could be Tino Benza.
Okay.
I think having him ahead of Chintuli,
ahead of Brian Banda,
ahead of Lawrence Mslanga, I don't know. Like Mike said, I want to go back to the point that Mike said about the members of the media. Mm. When it comes to that, okay, we don't have broadcasts of the games, but the match reports, guys, match reports can be better. You know, there was a time when we used to read a match report, you would think you're watching the game.
Reading.
I'm in a substance. Report.
Yeah, exactly. But nowadays, it's more like analysis. It's more analysis. It's
and
a
opinion.
Lot of criticism and opinion. Exactly.
And
it's no more match reporting.
And there's one thing that's unfortunately that has crept in, and that is analysis of the club. So you very often you hear reference to the owner of the club, reference to the administration of the club, rather than the players on the field of play.
All right, let's go to our WhatsApp platform here. And sad news indeed. This is daylight robbery. Our panelists got it wrong. Shepherd Makuvire from Lions Den Clinic. So he's weighed in with his thoughts regards the selection of our soccer stars of the year. Do keep your messages coming in, and we'll try and read as many as we can during our fan zone. Our number is 0731 168 045. Twitter and Facebook at ZFM Sports.
There's a cup final this weekend, guys, and listen, the most unexpected cup final, where nobody thought two mid-table teams in the Casa Lager Premier Soccer League would be battling it for the country's premier knockout title, and it's on tomorrow. Herentals take on Bulawayo Chiefs, and it's defied the odds to reach the final, these two teams, and both teams say they are ready to lay it all on the line as they seek to be crowned a Chibuku Super Cup champions. We'll be able to talk about that cup final.
Well, Tino Benza has got a phenomenal opportunity, isn't it, to try and show the nation to prove his mettle and justify why he's on that Soccer Stars of the Year list.
Cross my heart, hope to die.
The hits.
Enough. This is where hit music lives.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play.
Rugby news and international sports news. Now, there's a blockbuster matchup in the Autumn Nations series between England and the mighty New Zealand. And England head coach Eddie Jones believes the All Blacks are there for the taking and that they do not have an aura. Jones's England will run out in front of a sellout crowd at Twickenham tomorrow and aim to replicate the winning performance that they delivered against New Zealand at the Rugby World Cup in 2019. Let's hear from England coach Eddie Jones.
Well, I think New Zealand's always there for the taking. You know, why else do you go and play against them if they're not there for the taking? But, you know, I think they've done remarkably well to come back from where they were. I remember watching them in Nelsbreak get beaten very, very conclusively by South Africa, then come back the next week in Joburg and pay superbly the win, and then go on and win the Rugby Championship. What a fantastic achievement. And then I think they've won five or six on the row now. Yeah, they're a team that is redeveloping. They've had some of the older players being injured. They've got Retallick and Whitelock back now. They've got Sevilla at his best. So they've got a great combination of players there, and I'm sure they're going to be at their best on Saturday. To me, they never had an aura. Yeah, to me, it was, as I said, they're always there for the taking. I've always enjoyed coaching against New Zealand because you're coaching against the best team and you want to be playing against the best. So to me, they've never had an aura. They've had a lot of power and they've had a lot of ways to bully teams, and we've got to make sure we don't get bullied on Saturday.
Okay, Mike, we're going to completely remove everything that he said about, oh, they never had an aura and they're always there for the taking. That's just bluster, because we know...
I think he contradicts himself. and he talks about them being a great team and he says they never had an aura.
Yeah.
And I do agree with him to some extent and say that, you know what, the aura that used to be there from, let's say, 5-10 years ago, I think a bit of it has been lost because of the transition that All Blacks rugby has been in. But we've seen them turn a corner. Yeah. And they're looking at as if they're not yet back to their best, but they're now looking like a team that's probably the best right now in the world. They're getting some of the X-Factor players back. He talks about that combination at lock between Whitelock and Retallick, arguably the best in world rugby. R.D. Savea, phenomenal player. For me, the best rugby player in the world. He makes things happen. He's going to be playing at number 8. So this is going to be a very, very interesting match. And listen, if the All Blacks didn't have an aura, it wouldn't be a sellout crowd at Twickenham. The fact is, the All Blacks sell out wherever they go, simply because they do have that aura. They're like Brazil in world football.
Absolutely.
The same way that we filled up the National Sports Stadium when Brazil came here, that's what the All Blacks do wherever they go. They are the pinnacle, the epitome of world rugby.
Yeah, like I said, it's just bluster. He claims that they never had an aura. If he had said that they've lost their aura, yeah, I might agree with him, but to say they never had an aura is a blatant lie. England themselves, look, they're looking good value, but in your view, can this England side prevail?
I think they can compete. I think they can compete, and on a good day, they could win. But they're not convincing, and a lot of questions must be asked about Eddie Jones, and we have been asking those questions, in truth, for the last two or so years, where we feel England has, in many matches, underachieved. Argentina, let's not forget, just a couple of weeks ago, were able to go and win for the first time in over a decade, I think in 14 or so years at Twickenham against this England side. So if New Zealand bring their best game, play to the best of their ability, I think New Zealand is going to win this one. It won't be a blowout, but I think New Zealand could be good to win this one by 8 or 10 points.
Now, bottom line is going to be a tasty affair between England and New Zealand. The rest of the weekend's Autumn Nations series matches look like this. Italy takes on South Africa. Wales hosts Georgia, while Scotland takes on Argentina. Ireland will be taking on Australia, and France host Japan.
Hi, this is Zinzer Brook, All Black number 883, and you're listening to ZFM Stereo Sports.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We drive off in the United Arab Emirates, where Max Verstappen hit out at media in a heated press conference for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix as the double Formula One world champion defended but still refused to fully explain his snub of Red Bull's Sergio Perez team orders in Brazil. Verstappen called the media's portrayal disgusting and claimed his family had also been attacked with unacceptable comments as teams prepare for the last race of the season. In news out of Italy, American Taylor Fritz outlasted Felix Auger Aliassime in three sets, 7-6, 6-7, 6-2, in a round-robin play at the ATP Finals in Turin. In a clash of tournament debutants, Fritz prevailed to set up a semi-final meeting with five-time champion Novak Djokovic tomorrow. Fritz has won all the tournaments in 2022 every time he reaches the semi-final. And we touch down in Australia, where Jos Buttler says he has no concerns after a rusty England were beaten comprehensively by Australia in the opening one-day international, just days after being crowned T20 World Champions. The ODI series continues in Sydney tomorrow before the third and final match takes place in Melbourne on Tuesday.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The big leagues. The big teams. The big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport. Jogo Bonito. Tiki Taka. Total Football. It's a football celebration where only the best are invited. Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Benzema. The stars come out to play on your Qatar 2022 World Cup update on ZFM Sport.
Right, we want to keep it interactive. We want to hear from you, your thoughts, your views, your predictions for the FIFA World Cup 2022. Who do you think will be the outright winners? Can France defend their crown? Brazil, can they win it? They haven't been on the winners' podium for a long time, and they've suffered some famous embarrassments, especially that World Cup they hosted just a couple of tournaments ago. Argentina are looking good. Lionel Messi, can he finally bag the World Cup? Cristiano Ronaldo, can he put the controversy of the last week behind him to lead Portugal to what will be their maiden crown in Qatar? Those are some of the questions that we'll be endeavouring to answer on this evening's show and going forward over the next 5 or so weeks. And now, we are less than 48 hours. And of course, we're going to remind you of the groups, and I think it's important that we run through the groups just so that we get a sense of who's who in the zoo. In Qatar, Group A has got the host Qatar themselves up against Ecuador. Senegal, who will be without Sadio Mane, it's been confirmed that he misses the World Cup and he's out for the next 3 months. He could miss the Champions League matchups versus PSG as well. And completing that group is the team that advocates for total football. It's the Dutch, La Oranje, Netherlands.
Group B consists of England, and it seems like a bit of a facile group for England. Remember, Mike said that Gareth Southgate only needs to join the team in the knockout stages because the rest of the group has Iran, USA and Wales.
Group C has got Argentina, led by the prodigious talents of Lionel Messi. Saudi Arabia have qualified for the World Cup. Mexico are always there, are in there in Group C. And then Robert Lewandowski leads the Poles, Poland, in that group.
Now, Group D consists of the defending champions are France. They're looking good value on paper. They need to deliver on the green grass. Australia is in there, the Socceroos. Denmark, which has come forward in leaps and bounds. And then, of course, representing the African charge, Tunisia.
Group E has got La Furia Roja, Spain. They'll be looking to win the World Cup for a second time, having, of course, won the 2010 edition on African soil. Joining them are Germany, Die Mannschaft, four-time winners. Four stars on the bad. It's not my team, by the way.
Just wearing your shirt.
But I know Gazrama jersey. I won't like you.
Didn't they get rid of that name?
No, they haven't yet. It's after the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, they don't want it.
Yeah, the team.
Yes.
They're called the team. Yeah. Right. And then, of course, we've got Japan as well as Costa Rica.
In Group F, you'll find the Red Devils of Belgium, a team that has underachieved many, many tournaments. tournaments. This Goldie generation probably has this as their last chance saloon to bag a major trophy. Also, Canada qualifying for a World Cup once again. Morocco is in there representing Africa. And then Croatia, the beaten finalists in the last edition of the World Cup, completing Group F.
All right, let's take a look at Group G, containing the favorites for many people, and that is Brazil. The likes of Alisson, Edison cannot even get a game. Neymar is in the mix. Vinicius Junior, so many match winners in that team. And they're joined by Serbia, Switzerland, as well as the indomitable Lions of Cameroon.
Group H consists of Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal. And don't forget, in there, you'll find the likes of João Felix, Bruno Fernandes, and all sorts, making up Portugal. A very strong lineup they have. They'll be dark horses, no doubt. Also joining them in Group H is Ghana. Ghana looking good value. They've recruited well, would like to say, Mike, because they got the likes of Iñaki Williams and all sorts now representing Ghana. Uruguay is in there. Finishing Group H is Korea, the Republic of Korea.
All right, messages already started to come in. And before we get the expert view, PJ, the Blackfish in Helensvale, says Argentina to win, Brazil runners up, Denmark the dark horses. Alois, who are your favorites?
My favorite is Brazil, my brother. Brazil.
What makes them the favorites? What makes them so special? You take a look at almost every tournament I think we've gone in, including 2010, we've always said that Brazil are the favorites, but recently they're flattered to deceive.
Yeah, I think for a start, it's just like I love the team. I love the team, I love the players, but when you look at the team that they've got right now, like you rightly say, that they've got match winners. They've got a lot of match winners. A team like that, you know, if one player is not firing, you'll find that one or two others are firing. That's actually the beauty of having a lot of match winners in the team. They've got plenty of those. Of course, not all of them are going to be fitting into the first 11, but the first 11 that they are going to have trotting onto the field, I think for every match, they will have a strong team. Yes, Argentina, they're very strong as well. 30 match unbeaten, they're also strong favorites. But then, when I look at both teams, I think they've got equal chances of winning this World Cup. But now I'm going with Brazil because I just love Brazil.
Well, there is a criticism of Brazil, Barry, that's come through. A certain school of thought that says that because they don't have a recognized hitman, a number nine, who delivers regularly with goals, if the center backs of whatever particular nation that they are facing get comfortable and are able to shape up constantly and concentrate, it may be difficult for them to break down teams because they've only got one way of playing. And we saw that in the Copa America final versus Argentina, where they just needed that bit extra in the central striker's position to trouble the likes of Otamendi. But they didn't have that, and Argentina got quite comfortable defending against attackers and wingers.
100%. Look, in truth, if we want to go to the great one, Ronaldo Phenomena, it's hard to replace that sort of player.
Romario.
Romario.
Bebeto.
You know, Bebeto used to double up in there. Pele. Yeah. I mean, they've always had a number nine who can deliver the goals. This team seems to play almost with a false nine. I think Chiche has found a way whereby he can do that. But like you say, when a back four or even a back two gets comfortable, manages the game well, and also the holding midfielders are able to close the lines, keep them narrow, Brazil has big problems. So they're going to have to figure that out and figure it out quickly, especially in the latter stages of the tournament, where I fully expect them to be.
Alois, so one of the things as well that I think Brazil will need to guard against is temperament. They've got a few hotheads in their team. You know, you take a look at Neymar. You take a look at Vinicius Junior. You also take a look at Richarlison. They're going to have to manage their emotions, especially against sort of like your European style referees. And the European style referees, I'm talking about those guys who want to let the game flow and don't necessarily protect the flair players, because there's a feeling sometimes from the Brazilian players that we don't get the protection that we deserve. We are flair players, we're getting fouled and we are getting bullied, and yet you're not protecting us. And so they'll need to manage manage their emotions as well.
Yeah, I think not just manage emotions, Mike. They also need to actually go there knowing that this is a football game. This is the World Cup. You remember Diego Maradona won it for Argentina.
Being kicked.
He was getting he was getting kicked. They need to expect that they're going to get kicked. So that's when our emotions also come in. The danger with Brazil, that's the danger with Brazil, because they've got too many players that need
Anthony,
to play.
Rodrigo, want to play and they want to enjoy their football.
Exactly. Yeah. So if they meet a brutal team, it's going to be very difficult because they'll be falling and remonstrating. The remonstrations are going to be
Bora, she wants to play on. So Brazil, though, with all those things considered, I think for a lot of people, they look like they perhaps have got the strongest squad. And a difference for me, a unique difference, is that we go into many tournaments and we say that Brazil has got a dodgy defense. This time, I think Brazil has got a phenomenal defense. Yeah. Very experienced Thiago Silva of Chelsea, Marquinhos, who is the captain of PSG, is in there. Éder Militão, who's done very well at Real Madrid. And so they will be able to hold their own defensively. We perhaps can't miss out the defending champions, Barry, amongst the favourites.
For sure.
France.
100%. I do, however, feel that they are missing some key components in there.
Are you sticking with this story, Barry? Because you even told me that you don't think they'll go past the round of 16.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to go. They're going to come out of the group. I don't think they're going to go past the round of 16. You can
Barry, can I remind you?
In the European Nations League.
They did.
But those are like bona fide friendly matches.
But serious games.
But for me, I think that number one,
Benzema.
The issue is
Griezmann.
It's not the quality of the team.
Konate.
It's just a case of it becoming stale. I just believe that it's become stale. Didier Deschamps.
Okay, so straight after winning the World Cup, that point is staleness.
Yeah.
Does it help that Pogba and Kante, they're missing that through injury. Kimpembe is out. And so they've had to, without maybe wanting to, inject young talent. Kamavinga.
Yeah.
Tchouaméni, whatever fella. Tchouaméni, the French McTominay. He's got to be in there. So they've had to blood in youngsters who are hungry. Benzema wasn't there when they won it.
Agreed.
So there's hunger in that team.
There is hunger in the team. But you know what? There just needs to be everything coming together. Look at when they won it. Everything came to, even when Van Zidane won it, Didier Deschamps was then a player. Everything comes together. Right now, there's just a bit of pulling in different directions. The one thing that, and God forbid that this would have happened, if Kylian Mbappe had missed the World Cup, for whatever reason, I think France would have a better chance.
Wow. Wow, that is a bold statement. Yes. Well, a team that is looking to make a bold statement is Argentina. They come into the World Cup ranked number 3. And, of course, they won Copa America, defeating Brazil 1-0 in the year 2021 with arguably the best player ever in Lionel Messi. He wears the captain's armband. Argentina look like they may be one of the teams to beat at this tournament, Alois. Very few teams wanted to play Argentina in the knockout stages.
Yeah, just like I said, I think for me, the two of them, Brazil and Argentina, they stand a much, much better chance of winning this one, according to the form book and actually the squad, the talent that they've got in the squad. I just pray, I hope we can actually have a dream final if they can avoid each other.
And
we can actually have a Brazil versus Argentina final. That would be fantastic.
I think I think it's impossible. I think they play each other in the same final.
For Lionel Messi, I think sentiment is pointing at him winning this World Cup. Mm. Everyone in the world, even
but
those...
But that's pressure.
He thrives on pressure. He has been in the game for a long time. I think he is motivated. He knows that this is his last opportunity to go for it. He has got a team that can do it, a team that is on form, 30-match unbeaten run, very balanced squad. If there was any other chance for him...
And a team that's playing for him.
But yes.
I want to find out from you, Mike. Doesn't Argentina have a similar problem to Brazil in the sense that they're looking to Lautaro Martinez, Lissandro is the defender, Lautaro Martinez to lead the line, when in actual fact they don't have a gunslinger, Gabriel Batistuta.
Julia, they don't have that number nine, but they've got goals. So Martinez, I think, scores goals. Mm. Julian Alvarez, who is now at Man City, scores goals. And let's not forget, Lionel Messi scores quite a number of goals as well. So they don't have that quintessential number nine, the guy who sort of like break the door down. Yeah. But they do have goals. And Argentina, I think, classically, have never been sort of like your major tournaments, your team to win 6-1, 7-1.
No.
They will zero. Sort of like, yeah, 1-0. They rely on defending well, playing as a unit, and trying to be a team. And hoping, of course, I think, yeah, the advantage is that if they're defending well, Messi can create that bit of magic that they need to win matches. And so for me, I take a look at Argentina and I think, you know what, they do have a decent team. I was taking a look at the dark horses here, guys. Our producer Sean Tafirinika, he has put down Uruguay, the Netherlands, and Portugal as the dark horse. I'm trying to locate England and I'm thinking, come on. How do we have Alois a whole discussion and not talk about England? So let's talk about England. England last World Cup semi-finalists, and they kind of like dropped their guard against Croatia. That was a game they could have won and should have won.
Yeah.
And then Euro, again, led for a long period of that game, a game that they could have won and should have won. They failed to get over the edge, but there's no denying that under Southgate, they have made progress.
Yeah, Mike, they've made progress. But when we look at the last World Cup, they actually gave a swap. You know, very good.
It's coming home.
Yes.
They said.
They actually gave. They did that. And those players were young. You know, they are, I think, one of the most consistent sides when it comes to the team that is coming back for the World Cup from the previous one. They've got a lot of players that are coming back for this one. So for me, I think, yes, they've progressed, but they didn't make enough strides that I would have loved personally.
Okay, so what's wrong with that World Cup? You tell me, when you take a look, in just maybe in 30 seconds, what is England's biggest letdown? What is missing? What's preventing them from going over the edge and becoming world champions?
Tactically, they're not. They're not
Southgate.
Yes, the coach. Tactically, they're not sound.
The players they've got.
They're not playing swashbuckling football that they should. You know, if to win the World Cup, you need to attack.
Yes, you need to play. You need to score goals.
Doing it. So tactically, they're lacking something. Tactically, they're lacking going forward and defending their leg. But players, they've got.
Players they've got. Can those players very carry them to glory? Harry Kane.
You see, I think that they can, but will they? I don't think so. In the sense that they are very talented footballers. That's what I mean by saying they can. What gets you over the line at a World Cup is, remember, there has to be a tactical plan that gets you that gives you that extra 2%.
Tactical plan has got them to a Euro final.
Yep.
And that tactical plan got them to a World Cup semi-final.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But it's not convincing.
But at the same time, there's a lot of things that fell in their favor in those tournaments. Here, it seems to be that way as well. I mean, I look at their group. I mean, Iran, Wales, and it's fallen there. But will that happen in the knockout stages? I don't think so. I see stronger sides. That's really the point that I think we need to make. That there are stronger sides that have the tactical nous to navigate past an England.
Right. On a reminder, 0731 168 045. Messages are streaming in here, guys. Lots of predictions coming through. We get about to hit the fan zone and we're going to try and read as many of your messages as we can before we continue our discussion. On the other side, we take a look at Africa. Can Africa mount a challenge in Qatar? The five teams are there. The African representation at the World Cup. Senegal will be flying the flag for Africa. Cameroon, Ghana, Morocco, as well as Tunisia. Can any one of those nations make an impression? Send us your thoughts on our WhatsApp platform, 0731 168 045.
Lock it. CFM Stereo is untouchable.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
Right, let's take a look at the messages here. And Southgate is just the same as the Senegalese coach. This one is coming from Baba Rabi. Those are his thoughts.
I tend to agree with him, though. I know a lot of critics, they don't like to hear that. I do agree.
Tony's dad out in Obosha says, as Panis Rooms, Jingati Sami Sakana Shigaitika Kusoka, as England winning the World Cup, an African team winning the World Cup, Zimbabwe qualifying for the World Cup, Zimbabwe progressing beyond the group stages at the Africa Cup of Nations, an African team going beyond the quarterfinals at the World Cup. Well, hang on. We're going to be looking at the performances or the possible performances of Team Africa to see if they can get past the quarterfinals. What's up, guys? Believe the hype. Messi is the toast of world football. He'll be hitting top bins in Qatar, and his cosmic passes that can find space even in a telephone box are the glacier cherry sitting atop a sumptuous cake. I fancy Argentina. This is thanks to Mudzimba. Who else could it be? But someone who doesn't agree with him says Argentina. I see Kafarana Deontay Wilder looking at him with Anzi Pamuromo and everything. You think... he's all that was Robwa Hake na Fury.
No, I think Argentina are the real deal in the sense that I think that Argentina has found a balance. Argentina has now got a team that knows who the star turn is. They are playing for Messi.
And also, Alois, to say that they're amongst the favourites is not to say that they'll win the World Cup.
Yeah.
And also that they could lose to Brazil. This is not to say that they're unbeatable, but they've got a very good team, Argentina. And so, you know, people talk about Deontay Wilder and say, Agarro, Wana Wilder. But how many other boxers can beat Deontay Wilder?
Yeah,
exactly, Mike. You see, when we talk about favourites, you cannot then come back to us and say, yeah, my
football team is
a winner. No, we look
at it.
Exactly, we are not. We're trying to figure out and look at this by looking at the squad, the way they play, you know, the emotions.
Yes,
you know,
the
where
form that they are
the
in.
The form book. Yeah, then we're putting that together and say, this team can win. They can even get knocked down.
Yes,
in the
group stage. It's happened before.
It's very possible. Yeah, there was a time Italy came from being the
from
world
champions
and got
out in the group stages.
In fact, both France, from
World Cup finals.
In fact,
2006, the World Cup finalists, both Italy and France, in 2010, were knocked out in the group stages. Tashman out in Tinwood, that says, by dark horses are Portugal and the Dutch. He agrees with Sean. Watch out for these two teams. Barry, Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo. Can he put this malarkey that's been happening with Piers Morgan behind him?
I don't think so. And I think that the Portuguese camp has got a decision to make. I don't think that he's got the legs that can carry him any longer. I think that Cristiano Ronaldo is definitely a match winner. But I think he needs to settle in his mind that he's now a match winner, coming on for impact and then winning matches. If he agrees with that, Portugal will go far, I believe that. If he's a starter, it might be a bit of a challenge.
All right. This message here must come from either a Manchester United fan or a Real Madrid fan. Due to recent developments, Messi is no longer arguably the best player, but rather the best player. Something has happened to change his mind. A message here reads, I will be rooting for Argentina. Since the first time I watched Diego Maradona, they have a decent goalkeeper this time, but still worried about that defense. And that message is from IC in Bulawayo. IC, you wrote an essay. Sorry, I couldn't read the rest of it. Message here reads, Brazil will lift the World Cup. Then second, Arsenal will lift the EPL. Then Bulawayo Chiefs will be crowned Chibuku Cup champions. And that is, of course, from Sango in Mpopo Mabulawa, your number one ZFM sports fan. Keep your messages coming in, but we've got about 6 minutes, and that leaves us enough time to discuss the African charge and whether Africa will make a dent in Qatar.
As the stars shoot across the desert sky, the lions roar and the eagles swoop. Africa, we hunt as one.
So five countries will represent the continent in Qatar, and of course this one is the first World Cup to be played in the Gulf region. Reigning AFCON champions are Senegal. Let's start there. Alois, do they represent our best hopes as a continent to go further, perhaps, than the round of 16 and maybe the quarterfinals?
Yeah, for me, I had my money and all my hopes on Senegal. When I look at the groups and when I look at the quality of the African teams that are at the World Cup, I had my hopes, seriously. But after the injury to Sadio Mane, it was like cold water poured on my hopes. And
a team leader, inspirational figure.
That's where I was coming.
And you take a look at that group. I know it's got Qatar, Ecuador are no pushovers.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they've got the Dutch.
Yeah, they've got a good squad, honestly speaking. Senegal have got a good squad. But for me now, my problem now is the emotions in the team. You know, the psychological effect
from the loss of their leader.
Can they recover from... just even the fans. Obviously, there are now fans that are dejected. They are, even the coach might also be dejected.
Yeah, his
there are a lot of
changed.
People that are dejected.
You know,
the plans are changing and all that. That's what is worrying me about Senegal. But when you look at their squad, even without Sadio Mane, they still have a squad
very
that can actually... go and compete in that
Barry
group.
Talking about squads, you talked about Ghana recruiting well.
Yes, they did. Listen, they went out and got the ways and strays that are out in Europe and managed to convince them to come and play for Ghana. Now they have, I believe, a
really good players as well.
Very good players there. And then you add to those that were there already, the likes of your Thomas Partey's of this world, the Ayew brothers. You add in your Iñaki Williams, the young boy from Brighton. What's his name? Is it right back, left back?
Yeah, right back here.
Those sort of players that have galvanized a Ghana squad that now looks absolutely like world beaters. But do they have what it takes in the dugout is then the question.
Of course, the other nations that will be flying the flag for Africa are Cameroon, Tunisia and Morocco, who themselves have got a decent squad.
Tariq Lamptey.
Listen, right, let's talk about the golden boot. When I take a look at the nations there, I think it's difficult to look beyond Harry Kane, Karim Benzema, Kylian Mbappe, Messi, Neymar, Lewandowski. Is there anyone else who you think?
When I was listening and the fan zone and everything, there's one tackle that people are forgetting. There's Belgium in there.
Yes.
Belgium, they've got a golden generation. When they want to play there, they also have the same problem that they don't have a gunslinger.
Is it because of Vanwane fatigue in Belgium?
People are tired.
They've underachieved.
Yes,
and so we tip them every time to do well, they don't do well.
But they're still a good team. You see, people are just tired. That's why they dejected. They were like, this team ain't no boy. But they are really... So that also brings in the issue of De Bruyne. He's one of the...
One of the players to watch. Message, Jans, let's be honest with each other, guys. Time for Messi agadarika karewena. I'll keep on dreaming for him. It's good for us. So, you know, this message betrays someone who hasn't been watching
Messi. He's actually going into this World Cup on top form.
He's the best player in the world at the moment.
Not just for the club, but for the country.
Yeah, I know, 100%.
I think a lot of people concentrate predominantly on watching the English Premier League. And then they don't watch South American football. So whenever Argentina is playing, they're not watching Argentina play. And so they have no idea. I mean, this guy is at the top of his form right now.
Pulling up trees. He's literally and forget Haaland and what he's doing in England and all sorts. Lionel Messi's playing at a higher level in terms of statistics, and even when passing the eye test, just watching him, he's playing at a very high level.
I'm going to ask you just one more question, Barry, specifically. Who do you think is going to have a better tournament in terms of the young players? I'm going to throw at you four players.
Go.
Phil Foden of England, Pedri of Spain, Jude Bellingham of England, and Jamal Musiala of Germany. Who do you think is going to have the best tournament?
Pedri.
Pedri.
Foden.
Foden can be shut out. Foden can be shut out. We have seen that he can go quiet easy. But Pedri has got movement.
He occupies a lot of spaces.
Yes, he's got movement and skill.
How about Musiala? He's been playing well for Bayern, guys.
He has been playing well for Bayern, but I'm afraid that he won't get the minutes that require
To have a fit.
He starts, but he's always going to be pulled out, and I
think he's amazing. Sean, agree with me. He's a 90-minute player for Germany, no doubt. But anyway, let's give you the fixtures.
But Germany, really, the way they play, it doesn't compliment when Germany are playing.
Musiala is fantastic. Don't get us wrong. We're not saying he's a bad bad player. But
you
the German system doesn't.
Right. Unfortunately, guys, time has run out, but we'll be back to do this again 6:05 on Monday, where we take a look at the opening round of matches. Your fixtures: Sunday, Group A, Qatar versus Ecuador, kickoff 6 p.m. That's the opening game on Monday at 6 p.m. Senegal will take on the Netherlands, and Group B, England versus Iran, the United States of America versus Wales.
Don't miss Monday's show. It'll be a blockbuster. All right, for now, may God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Manande, out.
It's Messi. It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behavior.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Madhur, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are the team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.